Hello, and welcome to the Rembrandt Parables. I'm Tim Cooper. Rembrandt supervisor Butch is a complicated guy. Look beyond his rough exterior, and you'll find somebody quite surprising. Join us today as we read Butch and Agnes. The moral of today's parable is in Luke 12:48. Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities. Rembrandt supervisor Butch didn't talk about himself very much. In fact, he tended not to say very much in general. You see, early on he discovered that silence was a valuable skill. Keeping quiet kept him out of a lot of trouble. It was a lesson that would serve him well, not only during his difficult high school years, but the night he spent in jail. Butch wasn't what you would call an academic. School was an extraordinary frustration, sort of like beating your head against a wall, only with more tests. He graduated from Sir John A. Macdonald High School by the skin of his teeth and the determination of his mother. Gwen Dereskevicius, Butch's mom, didn't place many demands on her boy. The only two things she insisted he do were graduate from high school and complete grade 10 in piano from the Royal Conservatory of Music, neither of which he was enthusiastic to do. Butch expended great amounts of energy in resisting his mother, so much energy, in fact, that had he applied it to school and piano, he would have accomplished both with a minimum of stress and consternation. There was a time Butch recorded one of his 45-minute practice sessions and played it every day for 2 weeks as his mother prepared supper. He only fooled his mother the first couple of days. Without letting on to her suspicions, she went spying on her son. She found Butch in front of the muted TV playing Mario Brothers on his Nintendo. On the piano bench sat his tape player, belting out the Minuet in D by Mozart over and over again. As a punishment, Gwen forced him to make up all the lost practice time he had avoided. She also removed the clock from the living room and controlled his practice time. Without realizing it, Butch began practicing well beyond his stipulated 45 minutes. He never suspected that he was practicing 55 minutes, or even an hour. One time, Gwen tricked him into playing an hour and a half. Although he was loath to admit it, over the months and years, Butch began to enjoy the piano. He kept up a token resistance, just to keep his mother from gloating. But she could tell that music had ignited a secret passion in her son. By the time Butch entered high school, he was a budding classical musician. When he was 16, he became an associate of the Royal Conservatory of Music. This accomplishment brought great joy not only to his mother, but Mrs. Schustrom, his high school music teacher. Evelyn Schustrom has taught music at Sir John A. Macdonald High School for 14 years. Teaching music at an inner-city school requires a superhuman amount of patience and a level of optimism rivaled only by fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was rare to find a student who was talented enough to consider a career in music. Evelyn Schustrom believed Butch had what it took to be that professional musician. She looked for every opportunity to nurture that talent. High school was difficult enough without having to be singled out for something as uncool as classical music. Butch wanted to exist in anonymity. The hope was dashed by the high school Christmas concert. Mrs. Schustrom assigned a special piece of music from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker to be performed by Butch. It was meant to be the high point of the concert. The auditorium was packed with tired parents and agitated students. This was the last official school function before Christmas break. The evening festivities saw wave upon wave of orchestras and ensembles squeaking out versions of Holly Jolly Christmas and Angels We Have Heard on High, O Holy Night and Here Comes Santa Claus. Finally, mercifully, it was time for the finale. It was time for Butch to perform. He was the only solo act of the evening. Evelyn Schustrom introduced him. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special treat for you this evening. For our final performance, we have a selection from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. At the words "final performance," the audience perked up. It meant the long-anticipated end of the evening. Evelyn continued. Here to perform his Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies is Butch Deriskevicius. A smattering of applause couldn't mask the snicker of 300 bored, imaginative students. Butch felt his face turn red. If he could, he would have hidden inside the piano. At school, for the rest of the year, he was known as Butch of the Sugar Plum Fairies. He quit playing piano shortly thereafter. Not even the pleadings of Mrs. Schustrom or the threats of his mother could change his mind. At school, no one would allow him to forget the Christmas concert. In the graduation write-up of his yearbook, Butch was voted most likely to spend his life trapped inside a Christmas store, playing the Nutcracker on an electric keyboard for the customers. Butch didn't even touch a piano for 2 years. He only returned to it as a result of his arrest. It was the Monday of the Labor Day Classic CFL football game. Butch had been given 2 tickets for Box J, 6 rows from the field. Butch hated football. He wasn't athletically inclined, and being labeled as a sugar plum fairy by his entire high school football team tainted his opinion of the gridiron. Instead of attending the game, he figured it'd be worth his while to sell them. About an hour before kickoff, he stood at the corner of Cannon and Melrose. He was approached by a couple of guys wearing black and yellow kilts with hard hats. "What you got?" asked the first. "2 in Box J," said Butch. The two guys looked at each other, then at Butch. "Where'd you get 'em?" they asked. "A friend gave 'em to me," said Butch. "Why don't you use 'em?" "I hate football," said Butch. It was the wrong thing to say. The two guys in kilts glared at Butch. One of them shook his head and mumbled, "Weirdo," as they walked away. What Butch didn't know was that these two were part of the Box J Boys, the most loyal of all Ticat fans. He also didn't know that after they left Butch, they approached a police officer, a personal friend of one of the Box J Boys, and let him know that Butch was scalping tickets. There are times in life when it seems like everyone is against you. There are other times when everyone is, in fact, actually against you. The officer arrested Butch and held him overnight. The judge that heard his case the next day also happened to be an avid Ticat fan. He was also at the game that Labor Day. What Butch didn't know was that the Ticats lost the game on a controversial play that left all Ticat fans thoroughly enraged. That rage hadn't subsided when the judge glared down at Butch in the courtroom, and it found focus on Butch. Instead of a fine for his first offense, Butch was sentenced to 500 hours of community service. The court offered him several community service options. Butch found himself volunteering at St. Peter's Hospital. It's a palliative and hospice care facility. His responsibilities mainly consisted of transporting patients to and from appointments within the hospital. The job itself was not all that difficult. What Butch found depressing were the patients. Like most able-bodied young people, Butch was uncomfortable with anything that reminded him of his own mortality. St. Peter's was a place where people went to die. Butch tried to avoid any direct personal interaction with the patients. He wasn't prepared for Agnes Feynman. Agnes arrived at St. Peter's 3 weeks into Butch's sentence. It was his responsibility to wheel her to her room. He was typically silent as they entered the elevator. "Have you worked here long?" she asked. "Too long," said Butch. "You don't enjoy it," she said. It hadn't occurred to Butch that this was something he could enjoy. "I hadn't thought about it," he said. "Well, why not?" she asked. "Because I have to do this. The judge made me. It's part of my sentence," he said. Agnes looked back at him with a critical glance. "Are you some kind of dangerous criminal?" "No," shot Butch. Agnes laughed. "Relax, I'm only joking. They wouldn't let a dangerous criminal volunteer at a hospital." Butch leaned down to her ear and whispered, "Don't be so sure." Over the next few weeks, the two saw each other frequently. They shared the joke that he was a criminal on the lam and she was the only one who knew his secret. Butch enjoyed her sense of humor so much that he started looking for Agnes during his breaks. He took her for coffees in the cafeteria and pushed her chair through the courtyard gardens. One Saturday, he discovered her sitting by the grand piano in the hospital lobby. Her hands were lovingly across the keys, but she wasn't playing any notes. She was shaking her head back and forth. "It just won't come," she said. "I want to play the Enviromatic in C major by Mozart, but I just can't coax it from my head." "I didn't know you play," said Butch. Agnes smiled. "A long time ago, I was a concert pianist," she said. "I played for the Winnipeg Symphony, the Edmonton Philharmonic, so many out west. I used to travel all over the world." Butch watched as she struggled to find her fingering. "What happened?" he asked. "One night I was on stage, and I forgot the music. It was only a dress rehearsal, but it was humiliating just the same. Now I can't find it at all." The tears rolled down her cheek. Without a word, Butch reached out his right hand and played the first few notes of the Elvira Madigan. Agnes looked at him in utter surprise. She rolled herself out of the way to let Butch take his place at the piano. He played the Elvira Madigan in C major by Mozart in its entirety. As soon as he finished, Agnes reached out, drew him close, and kissed his cheek. At that moment, Butch understood why his mother and Evelyn Schustrom encouraged him to play. It was not meant for himself alone. It was something that needed to be shared. Butch finished his community service, but he still visits St. Peter's every Saturday to play classical music for the patients. Many stop and listen, but he plays mainly for Agnes. He hasn't said anything to his mother, or anyone else for that matter, but he's confided in Agnes that he's considering applying to the music department at McMaster University. Agnes offered to write a letter of recommendation. I hope you enjoyed today's story called Butch and Agnes, and that you will join me again soon for another Rembrandt parable. In the meantime, let me wish you a good day, and God bless.